Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's Wednesday night, and I have a Bible study for you tonight, something that's been laid on my heart and stirring in my soul. I thank Pastor for letting me speak to you tonight. I'm going to start with four verses of Scripture, and I hope you can follow along with me. The first one is Romans 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And my next verse is in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and it says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Next one is Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, and it says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And my last verse is in Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime or before were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. My subject tonight is our reasonable service. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight for an opportunity to speak to your people, asking you, O Lord, to give me words to say, anoint my words, inspire someone tonight, God. Touch someone, O Lord. Help me, O Lord Jesus, to teach this message, to teach your word, God. Lord, I ask you to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive you and to learn of you of what is our reasonable service. And we pray these things in your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, my purpose tonight is to give you some practical instructions or maybe find out what your calling may be. Or at least to get you to that place where you know how to ask, where it can become clear to you. And to help you to get ready for revival. As we mentioned before, next month, Evangelist Felix Crowley will be coming. So we want to be in a place where we understand what it is to have service, what it is that we should be doing in service. For the offering, I read about Moses, how God gave Moses instructions on building the tabernacle or the materials he needed to build the tabernacle or the sanctuary in the wilderness. And that was... That was an undertaking. They had to come together. After they left Egypt, they're in the wilderness. God gave them instructions on how to build a tabernacle or that church for them, a church for them, that he might dwell among them. And what I want to do tonight is to help you using a connection from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and to give you an idea or something to pray about when looking for what should I do in the church? How should I serve? How should I worship? And how should I be obedient to what I know to be God's will? Just a couple of things that stuck out to me from reading the Bible and the Old Testament to the New Testament. Well, when God gave Moses those instructions to build the temple, it was very, very specific as to the pattern that he showed Moses on the mountain. And they built some very instruments and parts of that temple. I'm just going to go through four of them, and in the four, you're going to see some service points, and I'll relate that to the New Testament. Is that all right? The first one was the brazen altar or the brass altar. Exodus chapter 27, verses 1 and 2 says, "And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. And the altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with brass." The brass altar was used to where they burnt sacrifices. They offered burnt sacrifices of goats and bulls and whatever they had, or certain clean animals. But the thing about that is, there was a fire that needed to be under that altar. There was a fire. That fire, God charged them that fire should never go out. Because the burning of sacrifices was the way that their sins were atoned for. So God always wanted there to be an opportunity for their sins to be atoned for. Therefore, that fire had to be kept going. In Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, he said, "And the fire upon the altar shall be burning. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall not go out." Now, if that's how it was, then they wouldn't need a lot of wood. Let me bring it into perspective for you. It was about 1 million of them. About 1 million people, men, women, and children, left Egypt. And they were in the wilderness. That's a lot of atonement, if you will. That's a lot of animals that had to be sacrificed for a lot of families. That meant that had to, a lot of wood had to be supplied to keep that fire going. Someone had to gather the firewood. Say that with me. Someone had to gather the firewood. That's a lot of fire. The next instrument of worship that they have was the brazen or brass laver or basin. Exodus chapter 30, verse 18 says, "And thou shalt make a laver, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein." Now here's a brass basin, basically a real big sink, because after they made the sacrifices, they had blood on their hands. They had to wash. They had to be washed, the priests. Keep in mind, though, 1 million people, many, many atonement sacrifices, that water had to be changed and refilled and refilled. Someone had the task of drawing the water. Would you say that with me? Someone had to draw the water. Someone had to draw the water. Another piece of furniture in the holy place was the golden candlestick. And it was a lamp that had to be lit. In Exodus chapter 27, verse 20, it says, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil, pressed olives, for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually." To cause the lamp to burn continually. The lamp was a golden lampstand, and the fire that it kept, it was maintained by olive oil. That oil supplied the fuel to keep that lamp burning. But someone had to press the olives in order for there to be olive oil for the lamp to continue to burn. That was someone's reasonable service. Someone had the task of pressing the olive oils for oil. Would you say that with me? Someone had the task of pressing the olives for olive oil. Someone had to work the olive press. Back then, that was some work. Another part of the tabernacle, another instrument of worship that they had there, was the table of showbread. The priest, as you can by now relate to, they were making a lot of sacrifices. They were washing for about a million people, many, many families. That was a lot of work, and they were up maybe all night. They needed to be sustained. They needed sustenance. They needed to eat, and there was bread for them to eat. So God instructed them that how to make that bread. And it says in Leviticus 24:5, "And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deal shall be in one cake." So someone had to make the cakes. Someone had to bake and make them. However, let's get something straight. They didn't have bags of flour the way we do now. All right? It says 2/10 deal. That doesn't mean they went and got a deal on some flour. That's not what that means. They had to harvest wheat and grind it, and then grind it some more, a process called winnowing and threshing, in order to get flour. I mean, winnowing, threshing, and milling, and to make it so fine. Oh, and after that, sifting. So that's winnowing, thrifting, milling, and then sifting to get fine flour to make 12 loaves. The process of winnowing is a very, very interesting process. They would harvest the wheat, take it up on a hill, and take a winnowing fork, it would look like a rake, throw the wheat up into the air, and they would allow the wind to separate the grain of wheat from the husk. The grain of wheat would fall down, and they would collect that and then take that to the threshing floor. But interesting, you probably know where I'm going with this. They allowed the wind to make a separation between the grain and the husk. Amen? Someone winnowed the wheat so that there might be flour. Could you say that with me? Someone winnowed the wheat that there might be flour. The separation of wheat from the chaff serves as a reminder of the ultimate accountability that God and the importance of living a life aligned with God. Romans 6:13 says, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." God instructs us in the New Testament to make a separation, amen, in our lives. Again, in Romans 12:2, he says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The golden candlestick that needed the olive oil for that light. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and to glorify your Father which is in heaven. The water. We needed water today for baptism. I think that's, if you look to my left, which is your right, we have a baptismal. We had some brothers working with wood and water. and I'm told under our sanctuary in the back, we needed some more wood to reinforce that. Someone had to do that. Someone had to bring the wood. Someone had to bring the water. Wow. That just happened. But they did it with gladness. Joy and gladness. We serve the Lord with joy and gladness. Deuteronomy 28:47 says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of the heart for the abundance of all things. And Moses is giving a warning to his people that they should have served God with joy and gladness as we do today. We should serve him with joy and gladness. Whatever our task, we work heartily as serving the Lord and not man. Psalms 100 verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So some questions that we might ask. What are the services that we provide in our church today, here in the age of grace? We provide some services. This is not just a place where we just show up, but there's a service going on. And you may be participating in this service, and you may not even realize it. So I'm going to help you with that tonight, if that's all right. And another question we may ask, what is God calling me to do? Well, just like back then, I believe someone wanted to help Moses. I believe someone wanted to help Aaron. I believe someone saw the burden that they were carrying and wanted to help. They're going to need a lot of firewood. They're going to need a lot of water. They're going to need a lot of olive oil. And someone volunteered in order to do that. At some point, someone had to consider and say, well, I know I can't make the sacrifices upon the altar, but I can volunteer to bring the firewood that would be needed. Remember, that fire must not go out for the brazen labor. At some point, somebody had to consider and say, I know I can't get in there and wash the feet of the priest and the feet and hands of the priest and their garments, but I can volunteer to make sure they have enough water to do so. And the Bible says that when they made the brazen laver, when they made that big sink, all the women gave their mirrors to them. Now keep in mind that the mirrors they had were not like the mirrors we have today, made of glass with silver on the back. The mirrors they had back then was a piece of brass, polished very, very smooth, so you could see yourself in it. They actually gave that mirror to be melted down into something that was used for worship. Amen. That was their reasonable service. Their sacrifice became worship. Amen. When we give, any and every time we give, that you give, when we have this offering here, you are serving, you are worshiping God. And it is very reasonable. You are helping someone to be washed clean, their sins to be washed clean. Amen. At some point, someone had to consider and say, I know I can't fill the lamps with oil or light the lamps when needed, but I volunteer to operate that olive oil press. I can get you some olive oil. I probably can't get in there, and not probably, I can't. That was a job for the priest only. God was very serious about his leadership. But I can get the olive oil and help them to do so. The table of the showbread. At some point, someone had to consider and say, I know I can't bake. That sounds like me. I can't bake. I'll burn it every time. I know I can't bake 12 loaves of bread, but I volunteer to harvest the wheat. I volunteer to separate it, the wheat that is needed for flour in order to make the loaves. I can do that. I can do that, Bar. I can heave some wheat into the air and make a separation. Those are the things that they figured out that they can do. Another example in Scripture is when God told David that he could not build the temple, that his son Solomon would build the temple. But did that stop David? He prepared many, many things of the materials that Solomon would need to build the temple. He made over 400 instruments, it said, that would be played by priests in the temple. That did not stop his worship. That did not stop his service. He saw that as reasonable. He saw that as pleasing to God. He saw that as his calling and what he should do. God is touching someone's heart in here. God is showing you something that you should do, what you could do. They're in the elements class right now, learning what their calling should be, or at least what to ask for. And for the services, or what they're inclined to do, what's already on their heart, what abilities they may have. Please pray for them. Pray for one another. When I first came to Apostolic Light here, Lighthouse, Brother Darren had invited me. One of my coworkers invited me to church here, and I heard the message of the gospel. I knew that I needed to be baptized in Jesus' name, according to the Bible. Those of you who don't know me, I was one of those brothers stuck on Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth, some of you know it. And the truth was revealed to me that there's only one God, and his name is Jesus. And I needed to be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful for that. But one of the things I noticed was Brother Darren was doing a whole lot of things back then. He would play music, and then he would run upstairs. Then he would do something else. And I just thought I wanted to help my friend with some of this church stuff. That was my mindset. I wanted to help my friend. That's all I wanted to do. He was so busy. And so I knew a little bit about computers. So I went up there for the first time, and he showed me some things. Then something happened. He got a hold of me. His spirit got a hold of me, and I've been trying to get a hold of him in the same way he's got a hold of me. Amen? My service turned into worship. Back then, all I wanted to do was to come to church for a whole year, 52 Sundays. I had never done that my whole life, 51 years alive, and I never went to church for 52 Sundays. I just wanted to go to church every time the church doors were open for once in my life. And God made that happen for me. 52 Sundays turned into 52 Monday nights prayers. 52 Monday night prayers turned into 52 Wednesday nights as well. 52 Wednesday night turns into every revival meeting, tent revival that we ever had, and winter fire, and men's conference, and district conference. I just couldn't get enough of the Word of God. It turned into Bible study in the back of Fred's truck, and in McDonald's, and Dunkin' Donuts. and calling Brother Darren up on the phone and just learning more and more. My hunger and thirst for the Word of God just took over. And those different times I'd be reading my Bible at home and come here and Pastor Greeley is preaching on something I just read. Or the song that they're singing matches the message that they were preaching. And I will ask them, did you tell them to sing that? No. It just happens like that. And it will be one of, you know, a favorite song of mine. And then the words from the song are being preached in the message. I just saw Jesus as amazing like that. And I just wanted more. I just wanted more. And that's what kept me coming. I didn't think I would be here. I didn't think that. But eventually he just kept putting things on my card. And one day Pastor gave a message and says, how many want to be used by God? And I raised my hand. I want to be used by God in this special way, because I knew this message that there's only one God and his name is Jesus. I hadn't heard that everywhere. I wanted to take that message somewhere. I remember asking Pastor about how can I become a minister? How can I get a license? And he showed me, and I don't know if it was before or after, but it was right around that time. He calls me down from up there. He had a job for me. I said, yes. He had a job for me. I run down there fast as I could for an old guy. And get here. I get here. He's standing next to Sister Kim. Okay. Oh, whatever it is, I'm going to do it. I want to be used by God. He tells me there's a dead rat in the basement. A minister is a servant. A minister is a servant. That's what that word means. I keep some rubber gloves with me now. But we serve. I got rid of that. I got rid of that dead mouse. Yes, I did. With zeal and joy and gladness. Got rid of that thing. It is our reasonable service. I notice many of you do the same thing. You come here, you might be here by yourself, you just start picking up paper. You'll dust off the rugs, or after we have some type of a cookout or all potluck meal, it's like all hands, it's cleaned up. And everybody takes part in cleaning up. You realize that that's part of your service, that's part of your worship. Bathroom is always clean. The bathroom is always clean. Someone is always making sure there's enough supplies in there for the bathroom. You see that as worship. Because someone did that for us a long time ago. That's why we're here. Someone gave. Someone gave. Someone worshiped. Someone served. So that I might be baptized in Jesus' name. Actually, I was baptized in Jesus' name back there. That I might receive the Holy Ghost. Someone came and vacuumed this floor. Someone made sure that I knew that I can come to this altar. I can come to this altar and have an encounter with Jesus. Someone was an example for me of stepping out in faith and crying out to God. And their service, their reasonable service, was their worship, and it helped me. You are in the same place. Back then, I didn't know how to explain this one God message as I do now. I didn't know how to explain the gospel. All I knew was get them in front of the preacher. Get them in front of the teacher. Get them in front of the man of God, if you can do that. Invite them here and get them in front of Brother Crowder. Invite them here, get them in front of Pastor Greeley. Invite them here and let Darren teach them a Bible study. That's all I knew. I was amen and yeah, what he said. That's all I knew. And that's who we are. But that is reasonable service. If that's all you can do, that's all you can do. You pay your tithes and offerings. That is going a long way. That kept these church doors open. Long before we were here, someone was paying tithes and offerings, and here we are. Please remember that your faithfulness is blessing someone. I believe that just like me, some of you have said, I may not be able to preach or teach like the pastor, but I do know that there's only one God and his name is Jesus. Amen. I may not be able to preach like them, but I do know the gospel, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But I do know that God's plan of salvation is in Acts 2:38, repent, baptism in Jesus' name, and being filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues. I believe that just like me, some of you may say that I may not be able to pray like the pastor, but I do know how to give thanks for every blessing in my life. Thank you, Jesus. That's all I can pray is thank you, Jesus, for this. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you for redeeming me. Lord, thank you for getting me out of trouble. Lord, thank you for your traveling mercy. Lord, thank you for that message we had on Wednesday night. Lord, thank you for that message we had at Winter Fire. Thank you, Jesus. It came up again. Lord Jesus, thank you for keeping me out of trouble. I can't pray like the pastor, but I can't come to Monday night prayer. Oh, yes, I can. And lift up your name in prayer. Amen. Lift up your name to Jesus in prayer. I believe that just like me, some of you have said to yourself, I may not be able to sing like the musicians, but I can pay tithes, but I can read the words on the screen and allow them to minister to my heart. Amen. How many of you have you ever done that? That song is just, you find yourself singing it, tapping your foot to it on your way to work or at work. All of my life, it's easy to see that you've been nothing but good to me. Amen. I believe that some of you, just like me, have said to yourself, I may not be able to baptize someone myself, but I can pay tithes and offering and make sure that we have water to baptize people with. You know, when you pay your tithes and offering, that paid the utility bill so that we can fill up that tank. Any of you know anybody with their own swimming pool? You know how much it costs to fill up a swimming pool? That's a big drain on your utility bill. We thank God for giving us provisions and jobs and money that we can give so that we can baptize someone in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's and that same utility bill pays to warm that water too. I was baptized in some warm water on January 29, 2014. It was warm. I may not be able to baptize someone, but I can use my washer and dryer to make sure we got clean baptism robes, to make sure we have clean towels for them to dry off with. That's a reasonable form of worship. Amen. Would you stand with me? He is good. It reminds me, when they did everything right, when they did everything according to the pattern that God showed Moses on the mountain, when the sins were atoned for, when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled everything with blood, the glory of the Lord appeared. It was a beautiful thing. Can you imagine that encounter? That a cloud of smoke with them by day and a pillar of fire by night. And one account says that the glory of the Lord was so powerful in the temple that Moses could not get in. Can you imagine that? How many want to experience the glory of God like that? Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Thank you for being with us, Lord, for keeping our going out and our coming in. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, lead us and guide us, O Lord Jesus, in our service and worship to you, God. Show us, O Lord Jesus, how we can give. Show us, O Lord Jesus, how we can be used of you, God. Show us how we can be conduits, O Lord Jesus, of your kindness, as vessels of your love, God, as instruments of your forgiveness on this earth, Lord. Show us even more ways how to let our light shine before men. Show us how to be service of one another, God, to love one another, forgive one another, Lord Jesus, be kind to one another, God. Show us how we can do that. Show us, Lord, how we can be ambassadors for you in this world, Lord. Show us, O Lord, how we can prepare this place for others to come in and make it their home. Show us, O Lord Jesus. Show each and every one of us. Touch my brothers and sisters today. Show them, O Lord, how you want to use them. Show them, O Lord Jesus, what you have planned for them. Show them, O Lord, give them the words to say to that person that you put in front of them, God. Give them the courage and the confidence, O Lord Jesus, as we know you have. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Reminds me of that song. As we call upon you now in worship, as we call upon you now in praise, fill our hearts, fill our lives, fill this place. In this house, in this place, Lord, let your glory fill this temple, in our hearts, in our lives. Lord, let your glory fill the air. And as we call upon you now in worship, as we call upon you now in praise, fill our hearts, fill our lives, fill this place. God bless you. They're still having elements class in the back. Please be mindful. They're almost done. But I thank you for coming. God bless you. Oh, my God.